Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled Vision Renewal, Deeper Relationships. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
As we enter into a time of confession, let us remember that we are confessing of ourselves to the God who has done great things and who loves us more than we will ever be able to imagine. Let us confess together. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks and praise for showing us your love and calling us to be your children by faith in Jesus Christ. We confess that at times we act more like spiritual orphans than bearers of the promise, and we treat each other more as unwelcome strangers than heirs of the kingdom of God. Forgive our selfishness and greed. Set your spirit within us, O Lord. Let us love one another, not in word or speech only, but in truth and action. For in this we show that we belong to you. This we pray together and in the silence of our hearts, in the name of the lover of our souls, Jesus Christ our Lord. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. Friends, hear and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Let us stand together and confess that which we believe through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he ascended into heaven and of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Paul writes to the church these words, "I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We've already heard it referenced this morning, so let's listen to the way Jesus speaks of this. Jesus says, "I am the vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of this day, the privilege of worship, and would pray now that your word might shape and inform and inspire my words, and that my words might be useful to help to shape and inform and inspire us, your people, into a deeper relationship with you in a way that brings honor and glory to you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In recent weeks, we've been looking together at our vision renewal statement written in 2016 on the 50th anniversary of the Metropolitan Community Program Report written in 1966, which influenced our decision to stay here at 34th and Central. In this section of the statement we're looking at, last week we looked at the first of our three visions, that of being greater faith. Next week, we're going to look at the vision of stronger community, which today leaves us with the vision of deeper relationships, an appropriate theme for the day, particularly this being Mother's Day. Reading from the vision renewal statement, TAB will be a catalyst for deeper, loving relationships that embrace differences for the sake of fellowship and service. TAB will be a place that helps to create, nurture, and deepen the relationships with God, our families, our church family, and our neighbors. End quote, and may it be so. Jesus' teaching on the vine and the branches is as applicable today as it was when he first spoke it. You don't need to have a degree in horticulture, you don't need to have a green thumb to know what happens when a branch is cut from the vine, a limb from the trunk, a root from its flower, a flower from its root, rather. It withers. It dies. Sometimes immediately, quickly, invariably, eventually. That is a truth physical, spiritual, social, and relational. Ask the leaf, "Are you complete in yourself?" And the leaf answers, "No. My life is in the branches." We ask the branch, and the branch answers, "No, my life is in the root." We ask the root, and it answers, "No, my life is in the trunk and in the branches and the leaves. Keep the branches stripped of leaves, and I shall die." And so it is with the great tree of being. Nothing is completely and merely individual. Harry Emerson Fosdick. The essential nature of relationship, of connectedness, is one of the primary themes, and it's woven throughout all of Scripture. In the opening verses of Genesis, we hear that God creates in order to be in a relationship, to be connected with his creation and all that dwell in it, culminating in this relationship that he establishes with the first man and the first woman. And in that creation, he not only calls them good, as he does the remaining portions of creation, he calls this very good. And then when in our sin and disobedience we wander away from him, we hide, he calls us back to himself. Where are you? Seeking, desiring this relationship again. And friends, he continues to do so still. Seeking us, winning us, wooing us, welcoming us home again, saying, I will be your God and you will be my people. The full expression of God's desire is when Jesus Christ came to be among us, to become one of us, in order to restore us back into a right relationship with himself and through him to one another. So our relationship with God is fundamental, and this relationship establishes the design for all of our other relationships. We're born into families. We are gathered into communities of social interaction, communities of faith. God created us to be social beings, to be in a relationship with him, to be in relationship with one another, interrelated, interdependent. And when those relationships are healthy and well established, we are vibrant and whole. And when they are damaged, or broken, or severed, we wither and die. Physically, socially, emotionally, spiritually. So recognizing this, our vision renewal statement put it this way. We find ourselves compelled to relationships. When something stands in the way of that relationship or prevents it from reaching its full potential, we feel incomplete. Remember how Robert Frost wrote, something there is that doesn't love a wall, that wants to keep breaking down the walls which divide us. Well, we don't really need to be convinced of any of this, do we? We know it for ourselves. Perhaps we know it too well. Are you aware that the Surgeon General has recently announced that the U.S. is facing a loneliness epidemic? Loneliness and social isolation are serious issues which plague one out of every two adults, leading to increased risk of anxiety and depression and suicide, as well as physical illness and heart disease and dementia and premature death. Professor of psychology Philip Zimbardo of Stanford University writes, I know of no more potent killer than isolation. There is no more destructive influence on physical and mental health than the isolation of you from me and us from them. Now, imposed isolation, imposed loneliness is different than the solitude we may seek. That part of our spiritual journey, but its effects can be devastating. It's little wonder then that solitary confinement is the harshest penalty given to any who are incarcerated. I listened to an interview a number of years ago on NPR with a maestro who had been imprisoned in Eastern Europe for his social and political views. He was placed in solitary confinement for 4 years before his release. Discussing the experience, the interviewer asked, what's the most beautiful music in the world? And the conductor gave no answer. The interviewer rephrased his question. When in solitary confinement, what music did you think about and long to hear? And the maestro finally answered, the most beautiful music in the whole world is the sound of another person's voice. Now, admittedly, we've not experienced anything like that. But I think it is safe to say that each of us has experienced something similar due to the effects of the pandemic. I certainly know I did, perhaps still do. I felt the effects of isolation and separation and the breakdown of relationships, physically, emotionally, socially, even spiritually. Let me give you one example. If you'll recall, pre-pandemic, we had three services every Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, at 11 o'clock. My Sunday morning routine is I would get into the building a little before 7, and I would finally leave the building a little before 1. I would invariably go home tired, a little drained and weary, but not as drained and weary as when we did one 45-minute service of worship online and I preached to an empty sanctuary. I was exhausted. Isn't that interesting? What was missing? Not the message, not the music, not the liturgy. The people, you, us, our relationship, our interrelatedness, our interactions with one another. I felt it and it exhausted me. You see, God created us to be social beings, and something essential is missing when our relationships with one another are damaged or broken or severed. That's why this second vision is so important to us. And again, as I quote for it, remember, this is written pre-pandemic. This is written in 2016, before that pandemic put an accelerant on all of this for us. I quote, TAB will be a place that will help to create, nurture, and deepen the relationships we have with God, our families, our church family, and our neighbors. We know that we are weaker as a people when we are divided. In this context, this vision stands as a call to the people of TAB to reach further, to engage more, to risk often, and to forge deep and meaningful relationships that will bear fruit in the form of a united community in worship, in life, and in every way that pleases God. That statement identifies the primary relationships of our lives that need to be established and then maintained, and if need be, when necessary, to be repaired and restored. Our relationship with God. We spoke of this last week, what we need to do to continue to grow deep and in greater faith. As Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. That connection is essential to us. Our relationships with our families, and this just not being on Mother's Day, but each and every day. Stronger marriages, stronger parent-child relationships, grandparent-grandchild relationships, siblings, in-laws, extended families. All of these are essential to our sense of being and well-being. These relationships need to be tended to, and we want to be a people and a place where those relationships are valued and enriched. Our relationship with our church family. I'm reminded of the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer when he writes that ours is a mediated relationship. Christ stands between us and God, and in this way stands between us and all others. So using the analogy Jesus gives of the vine and the branches, I'm not just a grape hanging out on my end of the vine, concerned only for myself and my own right connectedness to the vine, me and Jesus, if you will. No, I am one of many grapes, not individual and isolated, but interrelated, interconnected, interdependent in this, that we are all connected to the same vine, to that same life force, to Jesus Christ. I belong to God, you belong to God, we belong together. And finally, our relationship with our community. This neighborhood, your neighborhood, our neighbors, your neighbors. This church, or the church, can too often be perceived as a safe haven, as a place of refuge from the world around it. And there are times when each of us need that place of sanctuary. But we also need to safeguard against taking the posture of us circling the wagons, if you will, in order to protect us from the world out there and the people in it, for they are our neighbors. Howard Thurman rightly writes, the first step towards hatred is contact without fellowship, proximity without any sense of relationship. There are countless examples of this, differences which divide without any knowledge, any awareness of the other, social, racial, economic, political, all used to separate us from them without us really knowing or understanding them at all. We know technology, social media can certainly do that to us. We can hide behind our screens. We can say whatever we want in any way that we want about anybody we want under this cloak of anonymity. And then in that, we can not only use those medias to do that, we can also do the same with a closed heart or closed mind toward someone who is somehow different than we are. Jackie Robinson's famous story was the first African-American to play Major League Baseball. Breaking the color barrier was a difficult task, certainly in that day and age, so he faced taunts and threats in every stadium he visited. While playing one day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, he committed an error. The fans began to ridicule him in unimaginable ways. He stood at second base, humiliated, while the fans jeered. Then shortstop Pee Wee Reese came over, stood next to him. He put his arm around Robinson's shoulder and faced the crowd. The fans grew quiet. Robinson, years later, would say that that arm around his shoulder saved his career. If the first step towards hatred is contact without fellowship, then the inverse, the corrective to that, must also be true, that the first step towards friendship is contact with fellowship, actually getting to know one another. Not as an other, not as a need or an irritant or an opponent or a stranger, but as a brother, a sister, a neighbor, a friend, a child of God. St. John of the Cross, the one who wrote about the dark night of the soul, also wrote, "God has so ordained things that we grow in faith only through the frail instrumentality of one another. We grow in our relationship with God through our relationships with one another." Now, one of the ways we see that happening at TAB is the shift in emphasis which Terry has brought to our understanding of the ministry of the open door. For decades, we have been serving meals and writing checks to friends who come to us in need, asking for assistance, all good ministry. But something essential was missing: relationships. And so Terry has helped us navigate the change from the Open Door Soup Kitchen to the Open Door Cafe, where those who come for a meal are greeted as neighbors and guests. They are seated and served and engaged with in conversation by a TAB volunteer. That which was once merely transactional has now become transformational as relationships are built and friendships are enjoyed by those who are served and by those who are doing the serving. Such is the evidence of the fruit, such that Jesus speaks of in our parable this morning. Relationships are so essential in our lives. Our relationship with God, our relationship with family, our relationship with our church family, our relationships with our neighbors. But we also know these are fragile, and so once established, must be tended to and maintained. And how do we do that? Well, the ways are myriad, and they are specific to each particular relationship, but the motive and the motivation are always the same in each of them, and that is love. Mother Teresa writes, "The greatest disease in the West today is not tuberculosis or leprosy. It's being unwanted, unloved, uncared for. We can cure physical diseases with medicine, but the only cure for loneliness, despair, and hopelessness is love. There are many in the world who are dying for a piece of bread. There are many more in the world who are dying to be loved." This is what Jesus was saying using this analogy of the vine and the branches. You don't need to have a degree in horticulture or a green thumb to understand his meaning, but just to make sure we don't miss it, he sums it all up at the end of his teaching. He says, "As my Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love, rest in my love, lean into my love. This is the commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Amen. And let us pray. Lord, you invite us into relationship with you, with one another, with those we know, with those we don't know, with those who belong to you, to those who do not yet know that they belong to you. So, Lord, use us. May we be part of that fruit that, connected to you, shares this good news with all. Start with me, Lord. Start with us, Lord. May you be honored and glorified. We pray it in Jesus' name. Lord, hear our prayer.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.